A good example of being instant, in season and out of season. Brother Aaron had to get that one in a hurry, and we praise God for you. Amen. Let us turn this morning to the second chapter of 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians 2. And we will begin reading with verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast. Hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which has loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. I want to speak this morning on stand fast, as we find here. Paul is telling these people, verse 15, therefore, brethren, stand fast. It is important for us to understand the context of these words, because some of the saints here in Thessalonica had been deceived into believing that Jesus had already come and they had been left behind. The first few verses of this chapter, Paul spends in trying to explain how that there are certain things that must come to pass before the Lord's day, and those things at the time then present had not transpired. And so they had been lied to, they had been deceived, and they were very much discouraged and despondent because they simply had not laid hold of the glorious truth that Paul had already talked about. The things that he's talking about, once again, had not transpired at the time then present, but I can tell you they are coming to pass very quickly in our day, because one of those signs was a falling away, and we are in the midst of that at this present time. I want to see here, however, that just as the Apostle Paul encouraged these Thessalonian saints, so also our hearts must be encouraged, and we must follow exactly the same admonition that he gave to them. And so you will notice here in verse 14 or 13, Paul begins by telling them that God has chosen you to salvation. That not simply salvation, we know deliverance of any kind, but we're especially speaking of the salvation or the deliverance out of this world. God has chosen us for that. And then you will notice verse 14, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory. And this also is the same hope that God has given to us in this day. And so he begins verse 15 by saying, therefore, because of these absolute facts, because of these things which indeed are true, brethren, stand fast. And then he tells them, hold the tradition which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. He's telling them, hold on to the truth that has been preached to you. Hold on to the message, this tradition, talking about the ordinances or the glorious truth that he has outlined for them even in a previous message. And we can say throughout Paul's gospel, we also have this same tradition or these things that we have been taught by the word of God or epistle here. And so we have plenty of basis to believe and to stand fast. It is so important that we understand this little word, this phrase, stand fast, is recorded a number of times in Scripture in regard to different things. In 1 Corinthians 16:13, Paul tells them, stand fast in the faith. In Galatians 5:1, we read, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. That's standing fast in the liberty from the law. And many Christians don't know about that freedom even today. But Paul told the Galatians, stand fast in that liberty wherein he has already freed you from the bondage of the law. Philippians 1:27, stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. So a oneness of a body, oneness of believers, standing fast in this faith of the gospel. Philippians 4:1, Stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. And so stand fast is a very, very intricate part of our experience and the admonition that we must listen to today. When he says stand fast in the Lord, it really is a rather all-inclusive term. There are many ways that we stand fast in the Lord. I want to notice some specifics of standing fast today. Let us go to the 6th chapter of Ephesians. This is a very important, familiar passage of Scripture that many have known and treasured and appreciated down through the years. And so in the 6th chapter and in verse 12, Paul tells us, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore," that is because of verse 12, because of this battle that we are facing against the enemy, "wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." To stand fast, that term, which we've already read, comes from exactly the same word that is translated here, withstand, and indeed stand. And so Paul is basically giving to us exactly the same message insofar as standing fast. But again, I want to notice some specifics in regard to that. And so you will notice in the latter part of verse 13, where he says, "And you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." What does it mean, having done all? I'm sure that there could be many, many, many applications of that. But if we just take the book of Ephesians, Paul is talking about all of the admonitions and all of the instruction that he has given to them throughout this book. It begins by him telling us, "We have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ." And the admonition, the underlying and interweaved in there, is that we must lay hold of those spiritual blessings now. He talks about the wonderful mystery of his grace and the wisdom. We are to appropriate and to understand that mystery. We are to understand and know that we have been created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. When you have done this, when you have walked in these works, when you have let the Lord lead you in these words, again, having done all. Furthermore, we are told that we are to know, we are to understand the love of God, the length, the breadth, the depth, and the height, and to understand and to know the love of God, which passes all understanding. Then he tells us to be filled with the Spirit, and he goes into great depths to explain what that fullness means to us. And so we come out in this particular chapter. Also, after he tells us in a previous chapter that you be no more children tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, but that you speak the truth in love, that you may grow up into Christ in all things. You see, all of these Paul gave, all of this instruction he gave to these Ephesians, and then he comes to what we have here, having done all. Having done all these things, Paul wants us to know that we have not reached a place of sitting down on easy street and twiddling our thumbs, so to speak, having done all of this, having embraced all of this glorious truth and experienced these things that he talks about in these first chapters. Now he says, stand fast. And so it is that we in our day must stand fast. I want to notice another application of this having done all before we go into some of these specifics in regarding what we are to stand fast in, and that is this. I don't believe that God's mission for us is any new projects to save the world. There are many who are proclaiming that we must get out and we must win the world and we must convert the nations. We must do these things, win them for Christ and all of these. But according to the message that the Apostle Paul gave to the Thessalonians, we are in a falling away. We are not in a time of revival. And I can tell you on the authority of God's word, this world is not going to be revived before Jesus comes again. And so having done all, everything that God has scripturally laid out for us to do in our lives, in our ministries, and having done all, now then, becomes a personal obligation on the part of every one of us. Stand fast. This is our mission today. This is what God has determined that we must do in our own lives, and our commitment unto the Lord is to stand fast. There have been many messages that have been preached over the years in regard to the pieces of armor that Paul mentions in these next few verses. There have been sermons preached on individual pieces. So I'm not going into the individual pieces of armor. This is not a message on the armor. What I want to see today is that God wants the attributes represented by this armor to be on display in my own personal life. For example, in verse 14 he begins, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth." This means that truth must be a part of my own personal life. My life must be motivated and enabled and governed by the truth of God's word rather than the standards of men or the standards of society. God is the one who determines truth. And that truth, of course, is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice further, the breastplate of righteousness. God tells us the only righteousness that God ever accepts, ever will accept, or ever has accepted is the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is imperative that every one of us understand and know we receive that righteousness the day Jesus came into my heart. And God simply wants it to come to full fruition. He wants this glorious righteousness of Christ to completely take over my entire life. And so this is that which is over the heart or the breastplate, that which is over the heart, that comes out of the heart. This is the righteousness God wants in my life. Notice further, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That means God would have me walk in truth. It is glorious to receive revelations of truth. Revelations of the mysteries of God. But we are to stand as those who are literally, experimentally, practically walking in truth. And then I love this one in verse 16 because of the priority and preeminence. All of these are important. But Paul says in verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith. Faith must occupy a special portion of our lives. It means that we must indeed walk by faith. Above all, stand fast in faith. And I have said over and over and over again, let us not put the life of faith so far out that you can't reach it. Faith simply means that I believe God. And this is what God wants in any situation, any circumstance, no matter how futile it might seem or how discouraging it might seem. Sirs, I believe God, is what Paul said. And this is exactly the same thing that we must do in our lives. We'll see more of this a little bit later on. But again, it is above all, you must stand in faith. Verse 17, take the helmet of salvation. This is what those saints at Thessalonica needed. Their minds had been absolutely bombarded with that which was not true. God wants us to know that we have been called to salvation. He wants us to be delivered out of this world. He wants us to concentrate on His deliverance in our experience. Then, of course, we remember, take the sword of the Spirit, which once again is the Word of God. You will find the Word of God runs like a thread through all of these pieces of armor. We must take it personally. We must take it indeed unto ourselves to govern our own lives and experience. And then verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication. Having done all, I really marvel and I rejoice in some tremendous prayer warriors that we have in our day. Maybe they can't get out and go like they once did. Maybe they can't minister in places that they once did. But they are still tremendous prayer warriors. Having done all, they still pray. And it's almost constantly. We find this was something that was in Anna there when Jesus was born. Didn't depart out of the temple with fastings and supplications. An old woman about 85 years old, I think. And here she was still standing fast in prayer. We find many doing that today, and that's exactly what God tells us. Indeed, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. There have been many in the Scripture who have stood fast, or they have had this glorious commitment of standing fast in the Lord. For example, Job said it this way, "Till I die, I will not remove mine integrity from me." He would stand and he would stick with what God had given to him despite the tremendous criticism and persecution he got from his so-called comforters. I love what Paul tells us also in his declaration just before he went to Rome and would spend really the rest of his life in prison. But he said, "None of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy." None of these things move me. I'm standing fast. Regardless of the opposition which faces me, I still will believe God and stand fast in that commitment. This truth is beautifully illustrated in the Old Testament. Let's turn to 2 Samuel, the 23rd chapter. This is a record of David's mighty men. We have seen before that those men who suffered with David in the wilderness also came to the throne with him, and they reigned with him. It's the same story of us. If you suffer with Christ, you shall also reign with Him. And so here is a good example of a man who stood fast at a very difficult, impossible, inopportune time. You can show this in many of the different ones, but I want to notice this one specifically as we read here in verse 11. After him was Shammah. And that gives us our first clue as to who this man was. His name means desolate or desolation. And it speaks of those who are enduring or going through desolate times in our day. Sometimes we really feel like we have been completely decimated, as it were, in complete desolation. And yet this man did not stop. He did not give in to all of those things that would have brought him to such a place. And so you will notice, after him was Shammah, the son of Agee, the Hararite. The Philistines were gathered together into a troop. This means that the enemy was organized against him. Gathered together, just exactly like we read in Ephesians 6. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. There is a troop that is actually gathered against the saints of God today, and many of them are standing as an individual in such a matter. And so they gathered together in a troop, where was a piece of ground full of lentils. Lentils is food. It tells us of the food of the Word of God. This man thought this land was indeed worthy of him defending. It tells us the same thing. We must be willing to defend the truth that God has revealed to our hearts. Not give it up. Not let it go. Not let the enemy cheat us out of it. He stood in the midst of this ground to defend these lentils. Notice further, the people fled from the Philistines. This is where we know that this man was willing to stand alone. Everybody else left. Everybody else gave in. Everybody else submitted to their fears. But this man, Shammah, stood alone after everyone else was gone. We have spoken before that there may come, and I believe will come, a number of times in our lives when we feel that we are alone. There are many who have come to the same place that Elijah did when he complained to the Lord, "I'm the only one left." And God didn't tell him any different at that time. Later on, God said, "By the way, Elijah, I got 7,000 that haven't bowed to Baal." But you see, we don't always know that. And so the thought that I want to see here is, beloved, there must be that time when we are willing to stand alone, whether we actually are or not. It is our own heart that must be committed to stand alone before the Lord, even though others may have fled. Verse 12, "But he stood." And again, he stood alone in the midst of the ground. I submit to you today that our major occupation in this world is to stand our ground. Stand in the midst of what God has revealed to my heart and not let it go for any reason. It is imperative for my own well-being that I stand and believe God because of what he has revealed to my own heart and not let it go for anything or anyone. He stood in the midst of the ground. He defended it. He slew the Philistines. And this last part is what we absolutely must know. The Lord wrought a great victory. And that's something that we must know. Any victory that we have, standing, not because I have such resolve, not because I'm so strong-willed, not because of any other thing, we only win because the Lord wrought a great victory. It is God who has brought us to this wonderful place. The Lord wrought a great victory. Let us close this message with a couple of verses from the book of Jude. The book of Jude outlines exactly the same time in which we are living. They are these last days. Jude starts this book out, he said, I intended to write to you of the common salvation. Now the common salvation, verse 3, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation. The common salvation is what they experienced around the days of Pentecost. Being born again in the name of Jesus, because of Jesus, they were filled with the power of the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in new tongues, and healings and miracles abounded everywhere, again in the name of Jesus. That's basically what the common salvation means. And Jude was just absolutely thrilled with it. But the Holy Ghost overtook him. The Holy Ghost led him in a different direction. And so, I gave all diligence to write unto you the common salvation, but it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith. The Spirit of God changed his direction. Contending for the faith, different words, but same truth, means standing in faith. Standing in the faith. Not willing and not in any way giving up and compromising the victory and the truth, the faith that God has delivered, which was once delivered unto the saints. Verse 20. We are to contend for the faith, in the faith. We found Shammah standing alone, defending that ground which had the lentils, exactly the same truth, defending God's truth, defending the message he has revealed unto us. But how do we do that? Verse 20, but you, beloved brethren, or beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. In order to stand in faith, in order to contend for the faith, we must be built up in faith. Faith is the only way to please God. We find that in Hebrews 11. Faith is what carried Jesus through and so many others down through the years. It is by faith that we are delivered in anything. And so Jude tells us, but you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. And then he adds these words. Praying in the Holy Ghost. That really does not mean that we just spend our time on our knees, oh Lord, give me faith. Oh Lord, give me faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And that's the only way you get it. So when Jude says praying in the Holy Ghost, what's he saying? He is praying for a deeper revelation of God's word to spark faith in his heart for these last days. This is what you and I should be doing today. Remember one of the pieces of armor, above all, or praying rather, there, the last one, that we pray all prayer and supplication unto the Lord. One part of that prayer must indeed be praying that God would give me understanding and knowledge of the deep mysteries of God, even down into the end of this age, in order that he speak faith to my heart to lay hold of all of those glorious provisions. And eventually, it is going to lead to our salvation out of this world. We must stand fast in all of these ways.